This is your first trip to Oshkosh, I believe you told me.
My first trip, absolutely.
What do you think?
I'm fascinated by this. This is just an unbelievable experience. It really is.
Aluminum overload.
Yeah, it's everything overload. And just one quick comment, just to attest to what kind of people are here. I lost my cell phone yesterday. Found it and lost and found. Somebody returned it.
That's
and that doesn't
great.
Happen everywhere.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't happen anywhere else. I lost my son here once.
Did they turn him? Return
oh,
him?
We found him. Yeah, the security found him.
Wait a minute. I'd like to take an exception to that. I lost my mind here, and I haven't gotten that back yet.
Probably better that way.
I'm not sure we can help you with that.
Yeah. Well, Sally, you had the extraordinary honor.
Front row seat.
Front row seat to one of the greatest test pilots ever out there. Your dad, of course. What was it like growing up with a test pilot?
Well, he's a very interesting man, absolutely. He kept us entertained in many ways. He was somebody who could fix absolutely anything, and did. So our house was unique in that respect. A professional cannot come in and fix anything after he's touched it because it's down the Crossfield way.
not exactly according to directions.
No.
Christmas must have been very interesting.
Everything was interesting.
Dad put it together? I'm not sure I want to open this.
Yeah, well, and repair our cars if we wrecked them and things like that. And so, yeah, everything was unique in its own way. And to this day, when I go back home and try to fix something around the house, I have to look at it and figure out, oh, my God, what has he done? You know, I had to call the Geek Squad on our computer once, and he asked about where the hard drive was. And I looked at it, and I honestly couldn't answer him. He's done something to it that even the computer experts can't fix.
Time for a new one.
Yeah, probably.
Well, you know, one of the more infamous incidents that your dad is remembered for, and I know he caught a lot of grief about this, was the day that he made the dead stick landing with the F-100 and stuffed it into a hangar wall. He was at a...
I understand he hit the little button, but the garage door didn't open.
It didn't open. He was one of the few people that ever actually made a successful dead stick landing with an F-100. They were very rare, and most people would just punch out, but your dad wanted to save the aircraft. And
he just didn't want to have to fix it.
Well, you know, he didn't have the deductible. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And of course, was talking about the pilot's operating handbook of this aircraft, saying that he had three stabs of brakes on this thing. You got three shots of brakes, and that was it, and he needed four that day.
That's right, and the handbook was right.
Yeah, the handbook was exactly right.
It worked three times. The fourth one didn't stop it.
How much grief did your dad take about that?
Oh, he constantly took grief over that. You know, Jaeger always said the sonic wall was his, the hangar's wall was Crossfield's.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that was a
constant. And the other way that your dad was telling us was that every time that he made some kind of minor mistake, his wingman, I forget the gentleman's name, but he always accused your dad of showing off.
Could have been Al White.
It might have been.
Yeah.
But it was...
Oh, yeah, they always did. They were always kidding around with him on that. You know, Dad actually never showed off. That was one of the things he was known for, but because he was very professional. But, they jabbed at each other all the time.
Oh, you have to. That's how they blow off steam. Your father was involved with the X-15 program, too, had a bit of a handful landing. That's a rather famous picture of him
broke
standing
back
by a broken X-15, which they later repaired.
Mm-hmm.
What did he think? Did he ever talk about his flying when he came home?
No. No, he didn't talk about it at all, actually. When he came home, he was dad.
Really?
He kept the aviation and the personal life separate.
So I guess you guys really had no idea what he was doing at the time and how important it was.
They kept it separate. I saw him on TV a few times when I was little, and but other than that, he wanted us to just live normal lives. He didn't want us to think, you know, we were anything other than just regular kids. And so
now you,
that's what we did.
As we were talking the other day when I first met you, you have a lot of other brothers.
I have four brothers, and they're all here at Oshkosh. And I have a sister, and she's not here right now.
So it's almost like a family reunion.
Yeah, except for you don't see anybody here at Oshkosh. You know, they're scattered. Everybody goes their own way, and because everybody's interested in something else. They're taking workshops and visiting the warplanes or the home builds.
And you're the one that got stuck coming to EAA radio.
No, she made the mistake of literally sitting still too long when I happened by.
Yeah, I got captured by Digital Dave.
Speared is the word. Speared.
Speared.
Hey, you!
That's how we get them.
Caught by the hook, reeled in.
There you go. You certainly had a very unique perspective, but I guess at the time you never realized it.
I didn't realize it. In fact, I've learned more in the last 2 years than I ever knew about him, and it's been an interesting experience, and all of his friends have become my friends, and that's been the biggest gift he ever could have given me.
And I'm sure they all have some very tall tales about your father to tell.
They get taller by the day.
Don't they, though?
Yeah.
Now let's talk about his involvement with the Wright experience and the recreation of the Wright Flyer. I mean, did somebody approach him to develop this training program, or was that something he said, boy, I'd really like to give that a shot?
I think he was approached on that one, and he really thoroughly enjoyed that experience. I know he and my mom personally weaved the rope that they held the Wright Flyer when they pulled it behind the truck. They did that from the home, by their front porch, and one would stand and walk down towards the pasture as it got longer and longer, and they did that. And he really enjoyed that experience, and he had to learn to fly it himself so he could teach the other pilots to fly it.
Yeah, so
that's
here's the pilot operating handbook: point nose up.
Yeah, and it was a really difficult thing to fly, and you know, I think I told you, relayed it the other day, that when he was, and I'll clean it up, but when he was flying it, he fell out of the plane. He was thrown out of it, and you know, you hear the guy on the audio on the thing taping, oh crud, we just killed Crossfield. And they were all panicky, but he just landed with a thud and oh, and then got back up right away and dusted himself off, and you know, went, got back in and did it again, because you know, if he can't fly it, he can't teach it,
right?
So
that's amazing. We were there at the 100th anniversary of flight at Kill Devil Hills.
And driving car wash.
I have some videotape of your dad out there with the airplane on the second attempt. And unfortunately, the weather conditions that day were poor at best. And
right.
They never did actually get to recreate the flight.
Well, they
have flown it, and it did fly. But see, the Wrights didn't have a specific day and time to do it.
No,
they just
went
the
with it.
They could
we
wait
had monsoon
for the
weather on December 17, 2003.
Yes, yes.
They did figure out what went wrong. All they needed to do was, and they didn't figure this out till after the fact, but they needed to dry those rails. Those rails were kicking up beads of water, and it was
just enough to slow
killing
it down.
The engine. It was killing the engine. And if they had just dried those rails, but they didn't figure that out until that try, after that try, and you didn't get a third attempt.
No. So. That's a shame, but
it's
nonetheless,
interesting. When you're that accurate in a replica, you recreate all the original problems all over again.
Yeah, well, it wasn't raining the day that they were doing it.
Exactly.
So, you know,
Oh, so you're saying they were smarter than we were, huh?
No,
they didn't. Again, they had on December 17th in 1903. It wasn't pouring down rain, you know, which it was that day. That day, if you were there, it was
a
huge rainstorm.
Dry shoes and dry socks were a thing of the past.
People were praying that day.
Yeah, we literally.
Well, I must say that after we got drowned for 5 or 6 hours, I don't think praying was the word.
Well,
you can't say some of the things that were the words.
Yeah,
it was like an inch and a half of rain that came down, as
incredible.
I recall.
Oh, but
it was
I sat in the crowds with people, and I didn't sense disappointment. And I think everybody was just as fascinated with the process.
The first thing we realized is once that linen gets wet, that plane's going to be too heavy. So we figured it wasn't going to get off the ground anyway, but we figured, man, you better try it.
he came by our house that night and was explaining everything, because all these guys, they're engineers, you know, they were figuring it out right away what went wrong and everything. And, you know, they flew it. It has flown, and they've got it on tape, and it was just a wonderful experience for them all.
Now, did he actually get to fly it?
Yeah, he had. You know, he had flown it.
The powered version.
Yeah, I believe he did.
Cool. That's really cool.
I can check with Ken Hyde. I don't want to say for sure because I don't know that as a positive answer.
Well, that would be quite an experience for any pilot to go from breaking Mach 2, being the first person to do that, flying the X-15, and then flying a reproduction.
Right, talk about a wide envelope.
The 03 Flyer. Yeah, that's incredible.
You know what the worst part was? He couldn't find an instructor to sign his logbook on that one.
There was no cup holder either.
Yeah. Don't talk about it. Yeah, going from the X-15 back to Kitty Hawk, you know, and around full circle.
Real quick, you are here on behalf of a foundation or something, or you've started a foundation?
Oh, thank you. I should have thought to mention that myself. But yeah, I started a foundation in my father's name to continue his legacy. The Scott Crossfield Foundation, which you can find on the web at scottcrossfieldfoundation.org, to continue. He has a Teacher of the Year Award, the A. Scott Crossfield Aerospace Education Teacher of the Year Award, that he started and self-funded in 1986, and to honor K through 12 teachers, because those were his heroes.
Well, so I'm really hoping you're getting along with that. They're making hand signals. They do that a lot around here.
Yeah,
we
I saw
that.
We just
ignore them and they go away.
I wish I could do that.
Well, we're going to take a break. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And thank you for joining us, Sally.
Thank you for having me.
And this is EAA Radio, AM 1210, FM 100.7.
And we're on the web at airventure.org/radio.